And indeed, that is true. Savray, it is Radio Rotary. Scott is here. Scott?
I am indeed.
Yes, he is. He's here. All right. And all he's right, ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
With a whole studio full of guests.
It's a mob scene.
A total mob scene.
A mob scene.
We have an audience today.
Nobody's climbing the New York Times building or even the Dutchess County Courthouse.
But do you want copycat radio hosts? We have one.
Copycat radio host?
We'll talk about that.
All right.
This is your host, Rotarian Scott Myers, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley in Rotary District 7210. And if you want to find more information about the Rotary on our district, you go to rotarydistrict7210.org, where there is an archive of all our past shows. And today we have a really fantastic show and an interesting show. We also have a guest host who's taking over for me today and next week. Her name is Sarah O'Connell, and she's going to do a wonderful job. I'll be here for Presidential Brainiac, and I will throw in some questions today, but next week I will not be here. So I'm going to turn it over to Sarah now. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, thank you, Scott, but I need to ask one question before we go on here. Next week, are you going to tutorial me about this Presidential Brainiac?
You can make up your own questions.
Okay,
because
JP's got to help here, all right? Or
oh, yeah,
I'm JP.
Good at those.
Okay, good. Hi, I'm Sarah O'Connell.
Scott doesn't like my questions, but I'm good at it.
That's not what I heard. Oh, that's not what I heard off mic.
Oh, well.
I heard you're a big fan of this, and that's why we got to do it.
Oh, no, they're cool,
yeah.
But it's just the ones that I make up. always somehow manage to get something disparaging in about the current occupant
gotcha.
Of the White House.
There's editorial involved.
Also tries to get the president of Ethiopia, which is not correct. So you're throwing other things in there.
You will know.
All right. Now that we've clarified, you know, our trivia game for today. Yes, I am indeed Sarah O'Connell, and I am a Rotarian with Scott Meyer in the Millbrook Rotary Club. And I'm glad that you identified our district and how to find out more information about this show and other Millbrook Rotary activities, Scott, because I am a new Rotarian to our club. It's right. Now my club. I've been a Rotarian for 8 years, I believe, and I was invited to join the Millbrook Club, which is logistically makes more sense for me personally, and they have welcomed me with open arms, so thank you, Scott.
We just wanted you to do a lot of work for us.
Yeah, well, day two, it was like, okay, you're taking notes. Believe me, I got signed right up immediately. It's a great club. It's very active, and we have a lot of relationships within the district on a Rotary level as well as a community level, and today we're very proud to welcome as our guests Michael Murphy, Executive Director of the Hospice Foundation, and Mick McPherson, who I was teasing him because I asked him, tell me, Mick, exactly what do you do? And he gave me this a very official statement. I said, you know what, you're an insurance guy, right?
Pretty
with
much, yeah.
Emery and Webb. Yeah. So I said, do you mind if I just call you the insurance guy?
Great.
Okay, so today we're here because we're talking about a very important collaboration with an event, fundraiser, community outreach, all those wonderful things that hospice is involved with, and you are a member of that committee. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about hospice, I think, with Mr. Murphy here. He is the executive director, and is it the Dutchess County? What exactly do you
cover?
I'm the
executive director of Hospice Foundation, which is the fundraising arm of Hospice, Inc. Hospice, Inc. is the organization that takes care of terminally ill patients both in Dutchess and Ulster County.
So it's two counties
it's
that
two
you're
counties.
Covering. Okay.
And that is typical of hospices in New York State. Most of them do it by geographic territory.
Gotcha.
And all of that comes out of the State Health Department.
Okay.
So originally back in the 70s and the 80s, Dutchess and Ulster were separate. But in the late 80s, due to some collaboration that was planned, but also for economic reasons, Ulster and Dutchess joined and formed what is now known as Hospice, Inc.
Now, we had a wonderful presentation about 3 weeks ago, Mike, at our Rotary Club in Millbrook from a hospice representative. Scott, do you remember who those lovely people were that came?
I don't. We've had them from Mike as well as giving us presentations.
Rich Trissino, who is our president and CEO, has been out and about speaking.
He may have
brought along one of our clinicians that spoke.
Somebody who ran one of the centers was a coordinator. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting, and mm-hmm. I have to say, because we were listening listening at the promo before we went on the air here officially, and I learned so much from that presentation. And one of my takeaways was, and we're going to talk more about, hospice is not just people called in when your loved one or your family member is drawing their last breath. It's so much more than that. And my big takeaway from that presentation was the other services, and how you integrate and you move in and out of people's lives in this very elegant and graceful way. And we were talking a little bit about that off mic.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I'm throwing it to you.
There you go. Hospice is a Medicare, Medicaid eligible benefit that everyone has. And there is a criteria that was placed on the federal government when hospice was first established in the United States that the prognosis must be 6 months or less for the patient as agreed by the patient, the physician, family members, and then they opt to come on to hospice. We then do an assessment to make sure that criteria has been set by the doctor properly, and then they can be on for 6 months, a 6 month period. Mm-hmm. Many people think that has something to do with the disease, but in truth, the reason it's 6 months is when the organization approached the federal government for Medicare Medicaid support, mm-hmm. it was halfway through that particular fiscal year of the federal government. So they only had 6 months of funding remaining in that particular year. So that's the stake they put into the ground, six
gotcha.
Months.
That's
it's
interesting.
It's been interpreted as uh-huh. it's moved forward uh-huh. that it's more of a clinical prognosis.
Right.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, we're trying to change that because many diseases are well beyond that prognosis.
And diseases, it's not just cancer.
It's no, it's absolutely not just cancer.
It's a terminal illness.
About 62% of our patients are cancer. But as more and more protocols are being revealed in the cancer field, where cancer is lessening the deaths in the particular diagnosis, particularly here in the Hudson Valley where we have the excellent Dyson Center, Benedictine Hospital has just opened an excellent cancer treatment area.
Right.
More and more patients are living longer because of the protocols.
Sure.
What we're finding now is many patients are coming on with other diseases, whether they're respiratory, cardiac, Alzheimer's,
uh-huh.
dementia. As the population ages,
right.
We're going to be seeing more and more people who may opt to come on to hospice. Our challenge is that it's a secret. People know the name. They believe in some of these misconceptions that it's only cancer and it's
correct.
Only elderly, and it's truly not. It's for anyone who is facing a terminal illness where the doctor themselves, the family, have agreed that no more curative measures will be pursued. Then they come on to hospice. Once they're on hospice, we take over the control
mm-hmm.
in collaboration with their own doctor. And that means not only clinical care provided mm-hmm. by a nurse, but we also provide social work, bereavement counselors, home health aides, musical therapists, nutritionists. We have our own medical directors that mm-hmm. oversee the cases. So it's a continuum of care provided by a team of providers.
Well, that was the other thing that was a big takeaway for me was the nutritional piece of it and how the nutrition can interact with any type of protocols that had been taken, the bereavement stuff, the counseling that goes mm-hmm. on. It's really emotional support as well as the medical piece of it or the clinical piece
right.
of it. And it was very interesting.
There's many new protocols. Many of medicine comes, a lot of medicine comes out of California and moves eastward.
Uh-huh.
And palliative care became a catchphrase.
Say that used. Again?
Palliative care.
And what does that mean?
It means pain management.
Okay.
And it became a focus about 10 years ago out in the West and the Midwest and has finally started to move into all kinds of medical practices. It means trying to control the pain that anyone is experiencing.
Okay.
Most likely when people are in the hospital because of automobile accidents or post-operative,
sure.
the anesthesia group within that hospital handles the pain management.
Uh-huh.
We all can remember when you go to the doctor and you've got a pain and he'll say, well, how painful is it, 1 to 10? Well, that's kind of a scale that they judge how the pain is. If we've all experienced pain, we know how complicated it can be, whether it's a toothache, a headache, a backache. Sometimes it focuses you so much on the pain that the rest of your everyday life gets pushed aside, and you're constantly focusing on that. In end-of-life care, because of the diseases we work with, pain becomes a very big issue with the patient.
Okay.
So that our nurses and our clinicians are trained specifically in pain management. It's either pain management using medications or certain protocols. We even get into massage therapy.
Yes, I was going to say, there are other
music,
more traditional, less medication-driven types of way to manage pain nowadays.
Yep.
Like you touched on, I mean, there's acupuncture.
Absolutely.
There's massage therapy.
Yep.
There's
aromatherapy.
The psychological piece of it.
Breathing techniques. Mm-hmm. Even our music therapy program plays a significant role, and studies have proven that if you can work with music in when a person is in pain or in stress, it actually lessens all of that and allows the person to, the philosophy of hospice, to live the remaining time that they have at the highest quality that's left.
And that's the whole point of hospice, isn't it? It's the quality of that portion of your life, that it is as high as possible, it is as gracious as possible, and as pain-free as possible.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. So this event, now that we've kind of hopefully enlightened people, because again, I know every time I speak or I interact with hospice, I learn more and more, and it's bigger than we think. Before we get into the event, where would somebody go? Where is your office? What's a contact number? If we had questions, what do we do?
Our principal office in Dutchess County is in Hyde Park. We're at 374 Violet Avenue. We have a sister office on the roundout in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
From those offices, our care teams go out and provide care. About 70% of our care is provided in the home of the family and the patient. The remaining 30% is split evenly between 14 contracted nursing homes that we have in Dutchess and Ulster, and we're in every hospital in Dutchess and Ulster.
Network.
We're a hospital on wheels.
Yeah, really are.
We have about 180 employees, and we are one of the few not-for-profits in the United States that are mandated by the federal government to have volunteers. So we have a pool of about 180 to 200 volunteers.
And the other thing that was I found very interesting is your screening of the people that work for you is amazing. I mean, these people they're well trained, they're screened on a personal level, social level, all that type of thing, because you are bringing people into your home, you know, and in many cases.
Well, choosing hospice is a choice by the family, and we're brought into that circle. We're allowed to be a member of that very intimate circle that's occurring at a very critical time with the family and with the patient.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break and throw the mic back to Scott for a minute.
Thank you, Sarah. That's great. I've learned a lot here, too. We need to remind everybody what Rotary is. This is a show sponsored by Rotary. Anyone who would like to help sponsor this show, there are like if Emery and Webb wanted to pay for one of the shows, you're more than welcome to do so. But Rotary International is the world's first service organization. Rotary is a worldwide organization of more than 1.2 million business, professional, and community leaders. Members of Rotary clubs known as Rotarians provide humanitarian service, encourage high ethical standards in all vocations, and help build goodwill and peace in the world. There are over 32,000 Rotary clubs in more than 200 countries and geographical areas. Right here in Dutchess County, we have a new club starting last week, I think it was.
Last week. The charter was.
Fishkill,
last week.
Another one. And clubs are non-political, non-religious, and open to all cultures, races, and creeds, as signified by the motto, Service Above Self. Rotary's main objective is service in the community, in the workplace, and throughout the world. As a new member, you'll get a chance to become more involved in your community and to provide aid to other parts of the world through opportunities that your Rotary Club and Rotary National offer. What's interesting about each club is they're so unique and they do such different things. Sarah's seen two different clubs, for example, at least. So longtime Rotarians agree that the involvement is the key to getting the most out of membership. Volunteer to serve on a committee that meets your interests, to be a greeter for weekly club meetings, or to join a service project team. These activities will help you get to know your fellow club members and better understand the work of Rotary. So Rotary is a great thing. I've been in it for 15 or 20 years.
As long as I've known you, Scott, which is almost 20 years now, I think you've been a Rotarian.
Yeah, I have 100% attendance. I haven't been to every show, but I've made up the meetings.
Right, right.
It is a good thing, and you do have to become involved. You can't just, it's not
and
just
And you want to be involved. I will, Mick, because we're going to talk to Mick McPherson from Emory and Webb, and I'll give you my little Rotary share here. Always, I encourage you to always wear your Rotary pin when you travel. I am originally from South Louisiana, and many people, including family members of mine, were affected by Katrina. When I went down there after the first time, I was just home last month, but I always wear my pin when I travel. People will come up to you in airports or bus terminals or places that are other Rotarians, mm-hmm. and it's like you're a fraternity a bit, if you will. Well, anyway, so I'm waiting to pick up my car in the checkout place and get my luggage. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm trying to get out of the airport in New Orleans. And the girl behind the Avis counter dissolved and said, "You're a Rotarian. I can't tell you what your organization has done for my family." And she proceeded to go on to tell me a whole bunch of things. But right after, literally, the Red Cross, Rotary had a huge impact. And in fact, I'm very proud to say the Millbrook Rotary Club was instrumental in getting an elementary school reopened in South Louisiana. I mean, they did not have pencils. Mm-hmm. They didn't have anything. And it really touched my heart. So anyway, now that you're a new Rotarian, and where is your club, Mick McPherson?
We are the Arlington Rotary Club here in Poughkeepsie. One of my motivations for joining Rotary was I had been a member of other organizations that were very good organizations in their own right, but as fraternal organizations, they typically spend more of their time raising money for their individual clubs mm-hmm. through functions for those clubs. And also, monies that they do raise for specific causes, they only tend to be secular or motivated with specific, I don't want to just say religious beliefs, but, you know, it's almost single-minded some way. So when the opportunity came to be part of Rotary, the person who invited me, Sue Doyle of the Arlington Rotary, she had said to me, "Look, we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this."
Well, it's a much
and
more
it was
global.
Obviously, something that was touching on multiple elements within the community, several different organizations such as hospice that actually touch more families.
Well, and things go back to your immediate community, but they go back to the greater community
I was getting there.
Yeah.
What I was saying is, you know, it's local, it's statewide, it's also national, but it's also international.
Sure.
One of the functions that the Arlington Rotary was recently involved in was we sent medical equipment recently to a Jamaican hospital that was in need of this equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fortunate enough to be able to make an arrangement with Vassar Hospital mm-hmm. on equipment that they were no longer going to be able to maintain that was not really out of date. One of the issues that a hospital is faced with sometimes is, geez, in order for us to be able to protect ourselves from a liability issue, we have to have the latest and greatest in technology. So there was equipment in their storage that was less than 2 years old.
Here are people that probably don't even have a hospital the meantime.
That's it.
And I guess that it's definitely giving back and service above self.
Absolutely.
And one thing that we do at Rotary too, it's not all serious and you know, just fundraising and you got to volunteer and all that kind
time.
Of stuff. There's fellowship involved and we also have fun.
Yes.
And one of the things that we have fun doing is Scott has his game that we're playing on the air here.
That's right. We've been doing
Residential Brainiac.
Here we go.
Residential Brainiac. So Mick, you will find out as a new member that you know, Rotarians are intelligent, beautiful people, work hard and aware of their surroundings. So these are questions that we ask about past presidential candidates or actually past presidents. And we call
it
presidential.
I will defer all my answers to Mr. Murphy because he's actually one of my wife's former teachers, and I know that we're going to get the correct answer over here.
All right, the first question. We have
three
questions. Here we go.
Okay.
Which president passed away on the 4th of July in 1826?
Well, I know that. Am I allowed to answer?
Yes, of course.
It was Thomas Jefferson and John Adams.
It was Thomas. That was right. That was the 50th anniversary of the signing of his Declaration of Independence.
That's right. Yeah, and I was going to say Adams.
May I say? Yeah, both of them. And Thomas Jefferson's very last words were, Adams still lives. And he had passed away as well.
All right, Sarah, now you got to get this one.
No, I'm done. That's all. It's because I'm from the South that I could. I lived in Charlottesville.
All right, okay.
I'm sure JP knows this one.
I'm done.
Who used the critical campaign slogan "Cox and Cocktails" during the 1920 election?
Oh, Hoover or something. Would have been.
You're close, but not quite right. You want another guess? Anybody else?
I have no idea.
Warren G. Harding.
Oh.
Harding's opponent James Cox, was in favor of prohibition, thus the reference.
But by 1920, prohibition had been established.
I know, but taking it away and so on.
Mike, were you a history teacher?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that answer?
I could see, feel the wheel. My dad
Mike,
was a history
All right, so
teacher.
Mike's got to do the last question then.
Oh, great.
Here, get him on Mike here, all right? Mike, get
Mike,
on the mic.
Mike's on mic. What election marked the first time a party officially nominated a candidate for president?
Huh. Wow.
Oh, I think it's probably Jefferson.
A party.
It's probably Jefferson.
No, I think it was Adams.
In 1804, the Democratic Republican congressman held a nominating caucus and named Thomas Jefferson their candidate. Jefferson went on to receive 162 electoral votes and a landslide victory over Charles Pinckney of the Federalist Party.
Wow. Well, a lot of Thomas Jefferson stuff. Have you all ever been to Monticello?
Yes, it's beautiful.
Oh, that would be my dream job, is to be a guide in Monticello. When I lived in Charlottesville, people would come down and they'd say, I don't suppose you want to go to Monticello. I couldn't get in the car fast enough. But they're all history teachers. They're all history majors, history teachers. They're very, I mean... It's not like, hi, I like to be a guide here. I mean, you have to really know your stuff.
So yeah, Rotarians, as you can see, like to know things.
Yes.
So now let's find out about this poker run. I want to know what a poker run is.
Okay, well, first thing I want to say is part of the motivation on behalf of the Alonji family, and this was spoken to me again last night. This is the third year that they'll be doing this, and one of the reasons why they were so motivated to get involved, and I share this sentiment because I had lost my mother to cancer in 1996, I lost my father-in-law to cancer in 1998, and then, of course, they had recently lost their dad. But they said when hospice came into their home, hospice didn't say, geez, can we take a look at your insurance or, have you got any money? They just put everything else aside and said, what can we do to help? And because of that type of demeanor and that approach, I have yet to meet somebody that I've spoken to hospice about who knows anything about hospice that has anything ill to say. They are above and beyond professional because of the way they conduct themselves. Mm. You know, they truly are not just caring for the patient, they are caring for the entire family. So from that premise, it turns out that this family, Ralph Alonji passed away. His wife Joan remains. He has three sons.
And how old was
he? He was 66.
Okay.
So that's still relatively young.
That's young.
You know, in
today's world,
yes,
that's young.
Yes.
So his family has
His three sons in particular, John, Mark, and Anthony, are all motorcycle riders.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a daughter, Anne Marie. And Mark has... Michael will tell you, is a very animated person, okay? Loves to have a good time, loves to make people laugh, okay? Very enthusiastic when he does get involved in something. And he decided, it's my understanding, and you may need to correct me on this, but he had decided in as little as a 7-week span that this was going to happen the first year. And they found a way to make it happen. Now, logistically, this is 2006.
So this is the third annual.
That's correct.
Third annual.
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, the concept behind it is a poker run has been described to us. The idea is
P-O-K-E-R.
Yes,
as in
reference
the cards.
To the card
okay,
game.
Just
the concept of a poker run is you set out a mapped out route. In this case, it's going to be about 60 miles. In a traditional poker run, they actually put people in five different locations along the route. And you stop at each location and you get a card. And then when you return to where, in this instance, we're going to be running a huge barbecue with entertainment. The best hand wins any number of different prizes that we have laid out. What we're going to do to simplify this is we're not going to put five people out in the field. We're just going to say, look, this is the route that you got to go. Once you get back, we're going to have two or three sets of cards. You pick five cards, and you can also purchase a bonus card. And then from there, if you have the best hand during the day, you'll be able to obtain these prizes.
Very clever.
Yes.
Is that because when they came back, some of the riders had different faces on their cards?
No. It was actually more about, I think the first year than they tried to do it, logistically putting someone out at those points for an entire day.
And just
because
stopping.
We have traffic, foot traffic people arriving as early as 12 o'clock in the day, and then some arriving at 4 o'clock, and they still want to do the run. So rather than have to station somebody out, in the field, we thought this was just more practical, and it allowed everybody to participate. Now, the other plus side to this is it's not just about the poker run. That is the main theme. That's what we advertise behind, and it was rooted in the history of the three brothers and their
And when is this event?
We're going to be doing it September 28th of this year.
And where do you find out more about it? How do you sign up for it if you're a biker and you want to participate?
We're going to be publishing advertising that will be posted in multiple different venues very soon. We're actually collecting the last bits of information that we need in order to be able to make sure all of our advertising is correct. And then, of course, it's going to be posted in grocery stores and delis and gas stations and so on and so forth. Plus, we're looking to put it on some websites where they advertise these events because we're not the only poker run within the state. I did have some information here about that.
Well, if they called the hospice, would they be able to direct them to more information? Okay.
And Mike has, I believe last night you said in our meeting, you're going to be putting some sort of a link or something, correct?
So
we're
going
to put information on our website, which is www.hospiceinc.org. And if people are interested in information, they can call 473-2273, extension 1107. That's 473-2273, extension 1107.
Okay, great. Because I'm sure, do you have a limit on how many people can participate?
No, Mark and his committee are looking for as many participants as possible. Obviously, the poker run is specific to people on motorcycles, but with the barbecue and the live music and all of the events that are at the American Legion, people can show up and purchase a ticket to get food and so on and just have a great time.
Great.
The last couple of years, it's been terrific. The weather could be a factor, but we're keeping our fingers crossed this year so that there is we're keeping our fingers crossed that it's sunny and bright so that people enjoy the tour.
Okay. So to wrap up, there is a poker run, motorcycle run, basically ride, that is the third annual Ralph Allanger to benefit Memorial Fund.
Yep.
It's the third annual. It's September
28th.
And if you want more information, you can call
Hospice at 473-2273, extension 1107.
And I want to thank you both for being here. It's a great cause. It's a great organization. Thank you for being wonderful guests.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott, for letting me pitch it for you.
Thank you, sir. You're doing a great job. And the event sounds like fun. What happens if someone wants to ride a bicycle? Do you have a shorter course?
No. But I did want to mention that, as Mike was mentioning, we're not going to limit this just to motorcycle riders. This is also anybody who wants to come out. We're going to have two bands. We have a tremendous amount of food from a number of different venues throughout the community. Plus, the Allanger brothers are quite good cooks themselves.
And the barbecue will be where?
At the American Legion, 55 Overlook Road in the town of Poughkeepsie.
All right, thank you very much. We just have another announcement. We had the group study exchange meeting. A group from Honduras came here, and they spend 5 weeks visiting different places of their interest here in Dutchess County, or in our region, I should say. We also have a group study exchange outbound, so anybody who's interested that is not a Rotarian, who is not related to a Rotarian, whose father, mother, uncle, so on, is not a Rotarian, and would like to be on that, apply for that position of going to India this year in, I think, January. I've forgotten when it is.
I think you're right.
I think it's January. Please send in your application, and we will see you then. This is your host, Scott Meyer, with Sarah O'Connell. And we will be back next week, and Sarah will be here talking about RILA and some other events. So thank you very much. And this is, remember to go to our website, which is RotaryDistrict7210.org. Thank you very much.
Okay, Scott, it has been a pleasure, and you are listening to WHVW. It is 12:30, and Murray the Machine is here to entertain you.